I want you to imagine for just a moment that you are standing in a field at the edge of a quiet forest. It's not dawn quite yet. The sun hasn't risen. The night is silent. The air is cold. But then the sun begins to rise, and you can begin to see the light hitting the top of the trees. And the birds, they wake up and they start singing. And what was so silent and what was so cold is now becoming warm, hopeful, alive. The sun continues to rise until you can just feel its warmth on your face. And all the shadows begin to scatter. Warm, hopeful, alive. This is the transformation that joy to the world describes. We're in a series we've called Songs for the Season, where we're looking at different songs for the season and their connection to Scripture and their connection to our everyday lives. And today we're going to be looking at a song, we've already sang it once today, Joy to the World. It is one of my favorites, but would you believe it if I told you that Joy to the World actually wasn't written to be a Christmas song? It wasn't. It was penned by Isaac Watts. He was an English minister in the early 1700s, and he wrote this poem that was based on Psalm 98, 7 through 9. I want us to look at that real quick. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. For he who comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Isaac Watts had in his mind all of creation coming together. The rivers, the fields, the streams, the mountains, all of it coming together. Why? For the purpose of creating this symphonic moment. Why? Because all of creation is finally coming face to face with the King of creation. And he imagines this moment just burst in a song of joy and wonder. Let earth receive her King. You see, Watts didn't, it's interesting to me, he didn't have the birth of Jesus in mind when he wrote this. He actually had not the first coming, but the second coming of Jesus in mind when he penned these words. Look at this third verse that he wrote. He rules the world with truth and grace, and he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. The wonders of his love and wonders. Wonders of his love. Isaac Watts had in mind not the first coming, but the second coming. He had in mind the day that God would send his son to return to the earth, the day when all of God's promises would be fully realized, the day when all the wrong would be made right, and the day when all that was broken in this life would be healed and mended. He envisioned all of creation coming together to sing a song of joy. Why? Because God's Son had returned. God's Son and God's kingdom, he had come to rule and reign for good this time. Joy to the world. I think this is a really important conversation for us to be having right now, because I would imagine some of you are probably not experiencing the level of joy that you had hoped for this Christmas season. For whatever reason, you're just not where you hoped you would be when it comes to experiencing joy. But have I got some good news for you? And this is the takeaway that I hope that you take away from this message, and is this. Joy isn't a feeling, it's a promise. In other words, joy isn't some fleeting feeling that comes and goes and, oh, I've got it. Oh, there it went. It's an everlasting promise, a promise before time began, a promise that will echo and ring throughout the ages. What is the promise? It is the promise that it is a new day, that the light is breaking in, and there is absolutely nothing that the darkness can do about it. The light is breaking in. I want you to look at this promise from John chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just think about how Jesus came into this world. Mary had no experience. The innkeeper had no room. Herod had no conscience. Yet nothing could stop the light from scattering the darkness. See, in the Christmas story, God is showing us that joy is here to stay. Joy is not going to be temporary. Joy is not something that can just be extinguished. Because why? Because joy isn't a feeling. It's a promise. And the light is breaking in. Look at some of these other promises. This is a prophecy from Isaiah, Old Testament prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their what? Their joy. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, he prophesied this is what would happen. And then look at this promise from the psalmist. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know if anyone has experienced some weeping throughout the night. Maybe you find yourself in it just feels like you're still in that dark and cold place. But the promise is that joy would come in the morning. I was talking with my dad just a couple days ago. He mentioned that a good friend of mine lost his wife right here before the holidays. I can't imagine. But some of you can. Because some of you have. Some of you are facing the holidays without someone that you had even last year. You've lost loved ones, and maybe it's not that you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're just approaching the holidays and you just feel lost. And you're trying to make your way back to joy, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get back to that place? Maybe you're even thinking, how can I feel joy again? But remember, joy isn't a feeling. It's a promise. The light is breaking in. So regardless of where you may be today, those of you worshiping with us online from around the world, joy isn't a feeling. It's a promise. So let's talk about how can we make our way back to joy. In fact, there's a couple things embedded in this song that I think are pretty good examples for us to follow. The first thing that we can do that we find in the song is we can make room. This is so, so important. Let every heart prepare him what? Prepare him room. What does that mean? Well, it means that some of us approaching this Christmas day, this season, we need to ask the question, is there anything I need to make room for Jesus? Is there anything that I need to remove to make room for Jesus? It's an important question because sometimes we carry things in life we don't even know that we're still carrying. But could it be that there, if that's the place that you're in and you're not experiencing the level of joy that you hope this season, could it be that there is something taking up room, residing in your heart, taking up space that was originally intended for your joy? Maybe it's bitterness or resentment, something that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's time to make room. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's something that somebody said or somebody did and they've already forgotten, but you haven't. and you're still carrying it, maybe you need to make room. Maybe it's not something that somebody else said or did. Maybe it was something that you said or did. And because of that, you're carrying guilt and regret. Could it be that it is time to make room? Because when you let go of resentment and shame and regret, you are making room for love, peace, joy, and hope. Let every heart prepare him room. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's where I'm at, but I sure don't know what it is that's taking up all the room. Well, talk to God about that. Ask him to reveal to you, to surface. Pray to him and say, God, will you just surface whatever it is that's taking up the space in my heart that was intended for joy. Show it to me. Help me. Give me strength to make room. And then finally, make room. And then here's the second thing that we can do. Share joy. If you are in the place in your life that you have already received Jesus as King, then you have a responsibility to share joy. If your heart has been filled with joy to the world, we have a responsibility to share it. Now, we do not have a responsibility to produce joy. So if that's your strategy, it's not gonna work. Because we, in our frail humanity, we are not able to muster up joy. We're not able to produce it. Look at the way that Paul prays in Romans 15. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy. So let's just stop right there. Let me ask you the question. Who is it that fills us with joy? He is the only source of joy. He is the only one who can. We cannot, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we buy, no matter what we do to say, I'm gonna feel joy today, we can give ourselves all the pep talks, but we can't produce joy. But we can share it. Look at the rest of this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that what? Here's the point. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You were made to share joy, to overflow, that God would fill you up with so much joy that you would overflow to the benefit of those around you. God has called us to be rivers of joy, not reservoirs. What does a river do? A river allows the water to pass through it, but a reservoir holds on to it. Which looks more like your life right now? Do you easily share joy with others? That's the call on our life. And now you do not have to have a worship service to invite somebody to share joy. You can share the joy of Jesus anytime, anywhere. No matter how dark, the light can shine and scatter the dark. But wow, what a great opportunity right now that we have. In the next 48 hours, when do we have an opportunity like this to share joy with, specifically with an invite for someone to come sit with you? I want to show you some statistics that I came across. 82% of people surveyed said that they would attend a church service if invited, meaning that they checked at least somewhat likely to attend. Now, you may say, Travis, well, if that's true, 82%, then why aren't all of our churches just overflowing? Well, the answer to that is in the second part of this statistic. Only 2% of churchgoers invited someone within the year. Friends, we can pray for revival, and we should. And God can do anything he chooses. But we have to remember that what he has chosen to do is partner with us to bring revival to this world. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to take more than a 2% investment for that to happen. Do you have someone that God's bringing to your mind, into your heart, someone that you can pray about by name. He might bring a name that you're like, oh, not that one. There's no way they're going to be part of the 18%. But be obedient. Be bold. Be courageous. Make the simple invite. Come sit with me for a Christmas Eve service. Oh, you don't get off work until 6? Oh, we've got to, I'll sit with you then. We'll change our plans. We'll do that. The power of an invitation to change someone's story, to change someone's eternity. We are called to be sharers, bearers of joy. Here's a fun fact for you. Joy to the World was not written to be a Christmas song. In fact, it wasn't even written to be a song. It was written as a poem. Isaac Watts, early 1700s. It wasn't until 100 years later that Lowell Mason, an American composer, took the words that were penned by Watts, inspired by the psalmist in Psalm 98, and he took those words and he put a melody to it. It was so important to him to take these words and to put the melody to it that would capture the triumph and the celebration of the return of the king. I would say he did a pretty good job. And we're still singing it today. And just like that, a song that was about the future became one of the most beloved songs for the season, the Christmas season. But then again, isn't that really what Christmas is all about? A new day dawning, the light breaking into that cold, dark existence. To once again, to be able to feel the warmth of the sun on your face. The light breaking through, scattering the darkness, and the darkness can do nothing about it. The reminder that Jesus, who was a baby, who first came to this earth so quiet, so humbly, he's going to return. And when he does, it will not be quiet, because he is returning to rule and to reign forever and ever. Amen. So let's do this. We've already sang this song once today, but I'd like to sing it again if that's okay with you. This time, I'd really like to sing it not as a carol, but to sing it as a declaration. A declaration that the Jesus who came and placed himself in a manger is the same Jesus who once again will return, this time to rule and reign. And when he does, every heartache, every hurt, every injustice, every pain will melt away, because a new day is dawning. The light is breaking in, and the darkness can do nothing to stop it. So, this time we want to sing not just a nice carol, but a declaration of what it is that we believe. We want to acknowledge that. I want to invite you, if you will, go ahead and stand with me, and one more time, let's sing this together.
Nature sing. joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world. Truth and grace. Come on, sing it out. That makes the nations prove the glories, the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love and wonders of His love. Be a glorious day. Joy to the world. We will sing, sing, sing. Joy to the
I'm so glad that the song was written to remind us not just of the first coming, but of the second coming of Jesus, that He is going to return. Scripture reminds us that one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's the beauty of this moment. You and I do not have to wait. We do not have to wait for some date in the future. We can bow our knee, our tongue can confess right here, right now. Maybe you're here today and God has drawn you into this place to make a decision to say yes to Him. Maybe the decision is to say yes to Him again. You've walked away from Him, but you want to come back. You want that joy back, and you understand that it's not a feeling, but a promise. Friends, you can have that joy to the world, but if you haven't said yes to Jesus, if you haven't surrendered your heart to Him, then you don't have that promise, but you can before you leave today. I want to invite everybody, if you will, for just a moment, be seated, please. Just for just a moment, because we want to pray together, and as we do, this is an opportunity to say yes to the one who's already said yes to you. So we're going to pray, repeat this prayer after me, and then afterwards, if that's you, if you're making that decision today, I want to invite you, as people have already done in all of our services today, to boldly stand. Jesus says, I will confess you before my Father if you confess me before men. This is our opportunity. And we never know how many of these opportunities we will get. So let's pray. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I've sinned. But I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.